In the name of the Holy Trinity, one God. Amen. Once upon a time, there were two frogs who lived together in a marsh. But one hot summer, the marsh dried up, and they left it to go and look for another place to live, for you know that frogs like to be in a damp place if they can find one. By and by, they came to a deep well, and one of them looked down into it and said to the other, "This looks like a nice, cool place. Let's jump in and settle here." But the other, who had a wiser head on his shoulders, replied, "Not so fast, my friend. Supposing this well dried up like the marsh, how should we get out again?" The moral of the tale? Look before you leap. One of Aesop's fables that I remember from my childhood. Today is one of those Sundays where Scripture abounds in wonderful themes. We have so many great readings to choose from, and each of them could function as give many sermons. Jeremiah gives us that powerful image of the potter at his wheel, smashing the clay down and remaking it. The Psalm 139, is a deeply intimate portrait of our relationship with God and of how God knows and loves us from before we are ever born, before we are ever knit together in the womb. St. Paul gives us that compelling tale of returning a runaway slave to his master in the letter to Philemon. And by the way, you heard almost the entire book. There are only a couple more verses of the letter to Philemon than what you have just heard. And then, of course, the gospel. And Jesus offering us a tough challenge. Take up your cross, he says. Hate your family, he says. Give away everything you have, he says. Well, it was tempting to go with the potter's wheel or God loving us in the womb, but my conscience smote me. We can't ignore the difficult passages in Scripture, and I felt compelled to take another look at the gospel, at those difficult teachings. What do we do with this stuff? Well, we could respond as many early disciples did. This teaching is too hard. Who can accept it? And we could turn our backs and walk away. But let's not give up just yet. After all, we've made some promises in our baptism. We've participated in the sacraments, both of baptism and of Eucharist. We've become a part of the body of Christ. We know the story, the whole story, with all of its pain and with all of the glory that comes too. We want to know Jesus. We want to know God's blessing. So we need to see what we can make of this difficult teaching. Does Jesus really want us to hate our families? When we become Christians, we take God's priorities for our own. We reorder all of our relationships so that our commitment to Jesus comes first. When we put Jesus first, we are not hating or turning our backs on our families. We are entrusting everyone and everything that we value to God, to God's loving care. That isn't so bad, is it? When we find the grace to let God take care of us and of those whom we love, we discover a new freedom, a freedom to love more deeply. We discover that our families are precious not because of what they mean to us or of what they can do for us, but because of what they mean to God. When we're free from the anxiety of being responsible for everyone and everything, we experience great blessing. There's a prayer in our prayer book that we can use every day as we practice this handing over of those we love to God. Almighty God, we entrust all who are dear to us to your never-failing care and love for this life and the life to come, knowing that you are doing for them better things than we can desire or pray for. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Imagine that. God can do it better than we can. So why wouldn't we hand over our families to God? The second hard saying in this gospel passage is, whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Carrying the cross sounds like torture to us because we associate it with the story of Calvary. We think of Jesus carrying that cross up the hill to his death. But what if Jesus means, bear the burdens you are given willingly and stay with me all the way? Jesus' vocation, his job, was to submit to death on the cross for our sake. That's not your job or mine. We each have our own vocation, our own job to do in the world, in our lives. Perhaps to be a parent or a teacher, a manager, an entrepreneur, a musician, a priest, a doctor, even a kitchen designer. Each of us has a specific burden to carry. And we can carry it along the way of faith, following Jesus to eternal life, life abundant, as we just sang. Labor Day weekend is a great opportunity for us to reflect on the value of the work each of us does and to give thanks for the opportunity to do that work and for the blessings that we are to one another in our work. Whatever you do, do it with faith. Do it with integrity. And do it to the glory of God. In every professional arena and every personal endeavor, there will be times when we feel like giving it all up. We might feel like compromising on quality or character. We might even complain bitterly about our lot in life. Those are the times to remember this gospel passage, to remember whose steps we are following. Those are the times to think of Jesus carrying that cross without reproach or complaint. Times to take our cue from the one who stuck it out to the end. And then there's that hardest saying of all for us affluent, comfortable, middle-class Episcopalians. None of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions. Give it all up? Not likely. If we took that one literally, we might as well renounce our baptism right now, because we know it's not going to happen. We have far too much to lose. The German martyr Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, "We have to be prepared to let everything go for Christ's sake." C.S. Lewis, the great Anglican theologian, said, "Becoming a Christian means being remade, having your entire life rebuilt anew." That takes us back to Jeremiah's image of the potter smashing the faulty pot, which reminds us again of God's awesome power to create and to destroy. In baptism, God remakes us. God recreates us with a whole different orientation. We put Jesus first after baptism, and we trust the rest to God. Now, discipleship is a lifelong project of committing and recommitting ourselves to Christ over and over again. We do it a step at a time, a day at a time, every day of our lives. We do it by developing habits, habits of prayer, habits of giving, habits of forgiveness. Anytime you're learning a new habit, you have to be thoughtful about it until it becomes second nature. Think of when you learn to drive, and how intentional you had to be about everything you did at first. Or think of trying to give up a habit like biting your nails. You have to keep thinking about it. We have to approach the new practice with a plan, with awareness of the cost or consequences, too. We need to look before we leap. The Christian life is something we do with intention. It's not automatic. It's really somewhat against our human nature. We need to be intentional about it. And there is a cost as we practice putting God first and letting go of that anxiety that we seem to cling to about the people and the things that are precious to us. That's what Jesus is asking for us in this gospel passage. To count the cost, to look before we leap, to be very intentional about this Christian way of life. The way of discipleship is achievable without us having to repudiate all of our relationships or punish ourselves or completely throw out our way of life. But it takes thoughtfulness and care to live this faithful life, to throw in our lot with Jesus. So listen to the wise frog. Look before you leap. The well is inviting, and there is indeed abundant life. But it is very deep. Amen.